I'm here for charitable reasons. But apart from that, I wouldn't be seen dead in a distorting mirror.
Hello and welcome to the fifth and final series of Keeping Up Appearances, the Luxury Podcast. This is the companion podcast for exploring the world of Hyacinth Bouquet and the hit BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. Since 2021, we've been Wainy Elm weirdos, analysing every breath, twitch and musical note of Hyacinth Bouquet and her family. My name's Jonathan Vernon-Smith, and with me just setting out the Royal Worcester double-glazed Avignon is William Hanson.
Hello, Jonathan and I are here for one final series because, as you all know by now, we absolutely love Hyacinth Bouquet and her world in Keeping Up Appearances.
Now, in each episode of this luxury podcast, William and I take you through an episode of Keeping Up Appearances, delving deep into the world of the bouquets. And today is the first episode of the fifth and last series of the BBC sitcom The Senior Citizens Outing. Can you just take us through the synopsis, please, William?
And this is the synopsis as written in It's Bouquet, Not Bucket, the story behind the making of an extremely popular situation comedy by Harold Snowd, producer-director. Hyacinth volunteers her services to the vicar to assist with a day's outing to the coast for pensioners, but has her work cut out trying to avoid the romantic moves of Mr. Farini. The Onslow crowd has problems when Daddy goes missing. Good episode.
It's a fabulous episode. One of my faves.
Not the best in Series 5.
No, there are better.
And there are very good. Series 5 is actually, on reflection, I thought it started to go downhill in Series 5.
Not till the very end.
No, I think it's very good.
It's really good. Until that final episode, it's fantastic. It's cracking.
Yeah, I really don't think there's a duff episode.
No.
They're definitely playing into the tropes and the themes that we see.
Yeah.
That's absolutely being dialed up compared to Series 1.
And have you noticed how it feels as if they're all having a bit more fun with it? Particularly
yes.
Emmett.
Yes.
There's something a little bit exuberant about Emmett in this final series, have you noticed?
Particularly in this episode. It gets camper and camper as episode goes on.
Yes, he's absolutely thrilled.
Considering the point where we started with Emmett, that's saying quite something.
Yeah. We begin at the church hall. The vicar's wife, beautiful Marion Barron, who... Can we reveal this yet?
Go on, reveal it.
Oh, we are so excited. We're going to be meeting Marion Barron in this series of Keeping Up Appearances, the Luxury Podcast.
Marvellous.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're very excited.
We'll be inviting her in for tea and light refreshments.
Just don't brush against our walls, Marion.
No, quite. So she's sticking up a poster outside our church hall.
Yes. Everything is ours now.
Exactly. We've been there. It's ours.
We've taken ownership. Yeah. Squatter's rights after 30 years if you don't use it.
That's true. She's sticking out the poster. Richard and Hyacinth, they're in the Rover.
Did you read what the poster says?
No.
It's so patronising.
What does it say?
Be a fun person for a day.
Oh.
Befriend a small group of senior citizens for a day at the seaside.
Oh.
Why do we start treating the elderly like they're four? As a society... You don't get treated with any more respect. You get to a certain age and people treat you like your children. I'm saying this at the delicate age of 34. But what's it like for you?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, you're not that. You're not that old.
No, I'm not that old. Don't compare me to Mr. Farini.
No, you're much more Mrs. Lomax.
After a good night on the sauce, I am. Yes. Yeah, true.
Yeah, but what is it about life in general? People just get patronising. Oh, yeah, the old dears will have a day out at the seaside.
Yeah. Well, it was the 90s. Things were different then.
Things were.
Yes.
So the car is going past. The Rover 216 is going past.
Hyacinth and Richard are in it. And Hyacinth is wearing my favourite outfit. I've decided it's my favourite Hyacinth outfit.
Is that the outfit she goes to Honeysuckle Cottage in?
It is.
Yeah.
It's the outfit that absolutely matches the cushions for my small outside bistro table set.
Nice. Is that why you chose the cushions?
Yes.
Yes.
But don't tell anyone.
Okay, fine.
So she's wearing her green checked, very smart outfit, which
yes,
I rather
nice.
Like.
And she's worried about Sheridan's voice.
Yes, she's worried that his voice is changing and becoming a little deeper.
Yes, and it won't blend beautifully with Mummy's.
No.
Now, you are obviously a musician. We'll talk more about your own musical prowess in an upcoming episode.
Oh, good.
Yes. But I wondered, well, two questions. What is the order of male voices in terms of sort of higher to lower? Because I always thought tenor was the lowest. But
no,
it's
no,
not.
No, no, ten,
that's
no.
That's bass, ten, isn't it?
Yeah, I think...
Baritone?
No, I think it goes tenor. I think it goes tenor, baritone, bass.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. I don't know. Because for me, I've never liked to be pigeonholed.
No.
Because I can just stretch all of them.
Mm.
So for me personally...
And soprano, alto...
Yeah.
And all the others.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All of them.
For the, genuinely, actually, for people that don't know, and again, we'll play clips in a future episode, Jonathan is a wonderful singer.
Thank you.
You will hear a clip. He's very musical. Also, talking of musical, and I meant to say this, I mean, I think probably the Bucketheads that came to the live recording will know this, but our lovely theme tune that's played, that's a riff on the actual Keeping Up Appearances theme,
mm-hmm.
It's a JVS original.
Yeah.
That is you playing it.
That is my very own workmanship, yeah.
I tell Jonathan, we need another theme, and you go off, get the keyboard out the loft.
Yeah, I just bash one out.
And you're so good at it.
Thank you.
Some of them are longer than others.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are just little stings.
That's true.
It's when you've got cystitis.
That's true, but I do enjoy doing it.
What sort of voice do you think Sheridan has? Like his speaking voice?
I mean, a bit like that.
Bit Essex.
I think it's a bit like... No, I'll tell you what it is. I reckon it's a bit like... And this is before your time.
Yeah.
You know Dick Emery?
Yes.
You remember Dick Emery?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's...
Was he like a comedian?
Oh, you are awful, but I like you. And then
oh,
he used
yeah.
to push, yeah.
You think Sheridan's like that? Okay.
Yes. Why, what do you think Sheridan sounds like?
I haven't given it any thought.
Anyway, so Hyacinth notices the vicar and the vicar's wife putting up the poster outside the church hall, and she insists, you know, Richard goes in so she can see what the poster's all about, and it quickly becomes apparent the poster is up advertising for volunteers to go to the seaside with the senior citizens.
And she, because of her care of Daddy, which of course she doesn't even do because he lives with someone else, insists that it is her. Cue forlorn looks on vicar and vicar's wife's faces.
Oh no, it's the bucket woman. Don't let the bucket woman volunteer.
What can you just stop her? How can I stop her?
Well, think of something. You can't go through life just fetching drawing pins.
We then cut to Hyacinth and Richard's bedroom.
Yes, Hyacinth is trying on outfits to wear for the day trip to the seaside.
I watched this last night with Mikey, and Mikey went, oh my God, I do this. Meaning he... We'll try on outfits and sort of do me little fashion shows as to whether he would look good in a blazer or whatever.
Right.
So I was like, oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, she's trying on the outfits. And she also starts to write a list of things that she'll need to do.
Richard can do the headcount because he's good with numbers.
That's true. Then it crosses to Onslow and Daisy's bedroom.
Have you noticed they've slightly tweaked their set? And they've
so please, you've noticed this.
Yeah, the lights above and the plates.
And the flowers.
Oh, I wouldn't notice the flowers.
And can I point something out to you? Next to Daisy's bed, there's something on the bedside cabinet. What is it?
A mug?
Nope. There is a large bottle of talc on her bed. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's interesting. Why would you keep talc next to your bed? Because you're not going to talc in bed, are you? I mean, I don't talc anyway.
No.
But surely you talc...
Can we just explain what, for those that don't know what talcum powder is?
Talcum powder.
It's like sort of... Old-fashioned deodorant.
Well, yes, it's kind of a powder that's supposed to... You dab it all over your sweaty bits and it stops them getting too sweaty.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's not... You do it to babies' bottoms, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say we had it as children.
Yeah, but Daisy's got it next to the bed. And I just thought, oh, isn't that funny? Fancy having talc. And I was thinking, I have strange things next to my bed now.
Mm.
I sleep now with a bottle of Gaviscon next to my bed in case of any nighttime acid reflux. Do you have anything on your bedside cabinet that's unusual?
No. Not on it. I tell you what, though, when I go back to Miami...
What?
I'm taking back the NyQuil sleeping tablets I bought. I've taken them twice now, wide awake. I might as well have had a Skittle.
Oh, really?
Took them last night because I've been quite unwell. Listeners are probably here.
Yeah, I can hear.
I thought, well, I'll take some American strength sleeping tablets because that'll knock me out and hopefully give me a good night's sleep. Absolutely wide awake.
Oh.
I thought, I'll go to the loo, see if I sort of collapse because I'm drugged. No.
How many did you take?
Two.
Ah, right.
What am I meant to take?
Well, I don't know, because I also, when I go to America, I also buy a similar kind of thing, although they're not, they're called, I don't know what they're called, something like sleepy tablets. And when I get on a flight, I take three. Don't do this at home.
No.
I take three with about a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And I find that hits the spot perfectly. In fact, if the plane ever went down, never mind putting my life jacket on or whatever, I'd have no idea it would go down at all. I'd be completely oblivious.
Someone else could have your life jacket and they could be saved.
That'd be nuts. It's how I'd like to go.
Yeah.
Mm.
Apparently Tylenol PM is what I need.
Yes, that's what I have.
Is that what you have?
Yes, but you don't need to go for the brand. You can go for a, you know, Walmart or CVS own brand.
Okay. Well, I've our friend Stuart is currently in America.
Oh.
And he's going to bring me back some Tylenol PM.
Oh, okay.
Do you need anything?
No, I'm fully loaded up.
Okay, fine. Anyway, maybe she's talcum powder is for
what?
Chafing? Yeah.
She does rub her legs together under the bed, doesn't she? So maybe she talcs her thighs.
Yeah, could do.
Oh, Daisy's thighs. But you wouldn't talc in bed, would you?
I wouldn't, but would Daisy?
Well, maybe. Freshen up the sheets.
Yeah, probably help.
So they're in bed and... Rose arrives looking like a tart.
Yes, because that's her role. We're not being pejorative.
No, exactly. And it appears that Father is sitting next to the bed with his bucket and spade because he's so excited about going to the seaside. And I thought that was lovely. That's so sweet.
But again, why are we writing pensioners as simple children?
I know. Yeah, but do you not struggle to sleep when you're going somewhere exciting?
No.
Oh.
Mikey tells me this quite a lot, but I don't get excited very easily. Don't twist my words.
Poor Mikey.
Yes.
Oh, well, if I'm going somewhere on holiday, I quite often struggle to sleep the night before. I'm so thrilled.
I'll only struggle to sleep, if I'm ill, or if I know I've got an early start for work the next day, and I worry about not getting up.
Right.
Other than that, I just go to bed very quickly.
Oh, well, Daddy's up all night because he's so excited about going to the seaside the next day, which I think is rather lovely.
Yeah. Hyacinth's excited too when we go back to Wainy Elm.
Yes.
Getting Richard ready for the huge feat that is driving a minibus.
Yes. It's the next morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're getting ready for this. And she's informed him that he will be driving it and he'll be absolutely fine to drive it because he's worried. He's doubting himself, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's questioning whether he has the credentials to drive a minibus. And she says... He's of gold credit card standard.
Yes, even though he doesn't have enough money.
No, he doesn't have a gold credit card because you don't have enough money, she says.
But he's got every other qualification.
That's true. Have you got a gold credit card?
Platinum. But we should just say, at the time that this programme was made, you couldn't get platinum. Gold was the top level. I think there is a level above. There's always another door, Fraser episode.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But yeah, mine is just, it's all a load of marketing rubbish.
I've never had a gold credit card.
Oh.
Never. I have a platinum.
Yes, you do.
I do. Mm. But I don't have a gold. And never have done.
No, but also, after watching this episode with Mikey, I did find him looking up different credit cards.
There you go.
And he is thinking of getting the Amex gold.
He wants a gold one.
Yeah.
Quite right, too.
And then I can say that we're of gold credit card standard.
Exactly.
Of course you can drive the minibus. You don't imagine I'd marry someone who can't drive a minibus. I think you sometimes forget you're a man of gold credit card standard.
The phone rings. It's Sheridan!
And again, there's some very dark humour that occasionally creeps into Keeping Up Appearances. But I love the line.
Mm.
We're taking some senior citizens to the sea. No, not to drown them.
I know, it's lovely, isn't it?
It's great. It's so funny.
I know. I think it's quite unexpected, actually.
Yeah.
What a strange sense of humour you have, dear, she says.
And he wants his car resprayed, so he wants some money for that. And I thought, you love talking about cars.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about what would Sheridan's voice sound like. What sort of car do you envisage Sheridan in?
Oh, right. Okay, I've got to go back in time then. I think a Citroen Dolly.
Don't know what that is.
It was a bit like a Citroen 2CV.
I still don't know what that is.
You don't know what that is either?
I just do, like, get in the car. Does it have CarPlay? That's the only thing that I'm
interested
in.
No, Citroen Dollies.
No, well, I realised in the 90s it wouldn't.
They do not have, for all of our bucket heads, you can Google a Citroen Dolly now. I'm going to show you a photo, William, so you
can. Is it Dolly with a Y?
D-O-L-L-Y was the Citroen Dolly. And here is a photo of the Citroen Dolly.
It looks like a Beetle.
No, well, it was, yeah, it's a little bit similar. It was a French farmer's car. But I can see, can't you see Sheridan in that?
Well, I can. I don't think Hyacinth would like him in a French farmer's car. She'd like him in a French executive's car.
Yes, that's true. But I think, yes, he definitely drives a Citroen Dolly.
Yeah, okay.
We cross to Emmett and Liz, and it's very clear that Liz is going to the seaside as well.
And Emmett isn't.
Emmett isn't.
He's enjoying that fact.
He's so excited. And you know, we said at the beginning that it feels as if Emmett really has, he's let himself go in this series.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Not he's not obese.
No.
No,
no, in fact, he's quite the opposite. Yes. If you notice, he's quite slim in this. And I've noticed that he just seems to have really gone for it with playing Emmett. He's so excited about the fact that Hyacinth is going to the seaside and Liz is going too.
He gets whacked on the back with a cushion from his sister.
Yeah, he's singing all these silly songs, isn't he?
Yeah. We then have a little incidental scene at Onslow and Daisy's. Did you have anything to say about that scene?
No, only that Daddy is gone.
Yeah.
It becomes apparent Daddy's done one of his disappearing acts. And that, of course, is quite crucial.
Yes, it is.
To the storyline.
It is. Yeah. And then it's back to outside Wainy Elm. They're preparing to embark.
Richard is buffing the Rover with a duster.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use a duster on the outside of your car.
You'd use a chamois.
I'd use a microfiber.
Yeah. But did they have microfibers in the 90s?
Probably not.
No.
Liz appears and climbs over the wall between the two properties.
I want to talk to you about that moment.
Yeah.
Because if you watch it, as she's climbing over the wall, she loses balance and her head nearly goes forward and whacks the wall. And Emmett rushes forward. And I think that wasn't meant to happen. And they riffed with it. And he goes, oh, careful, Liz. And it's sort of, it's not really, I don't feel it's acting. I think he rushed forward because his co-star was falling.
Right.
And they sort of style it out and then wrote a line for Richard to sort of say off the back of it when they did the shot of Richard. I think that was not in the script. I'd love to know.
Well, I shall have to go back and watch it again now because I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Hyacinth appears.
Yes.
And she's wearing her going to the seaside outfit and what I call white mum pumps. She's got a little pair of white mum pumps.
Plimsolls.
Yes.
Yes.
The kind of mum pumps that my mum used to wear for what we affectionately called keep fat. She'd head off to keep fat once a week in a little pair of white mum pumps.
Yes, it's odd to see Hyacinth in anything other than a beige peep-toe sling bag.
Exactly. There's a lovely physical moment as they go to get in the car because Hyacinth goes to get in the front of the car. And then Richard realises that he hasn't opened the door for Liz. And in the process of doing so, shoves Hyacinth in into the car with his bottom. And her hat kind of goes all over the place. It's just one of those lovely physical moments.
Because again, in our little fantasy world, Richard quite likes Liz. And he's actually like, that's the life I could have had.
And we'll come back to that.
Yes, okay.
Because there are several moments during this episode where I think the deep down affection and love for Liz that Richard has makes an appearance.
Yeah. And Emmett, just before they say goodbye, Emmett gets so camp and sort of praises Hyacinth for her outfit and sort of says all the stuff that Hyacinth clearly wants someone to say. And I do want to say to Emmett, this is how you should have coped with it from the start. Rather than panicking and becoming a nervous wreck, play into it. Sort of find her ridiculous, but just give her what she wants, knowing that you don't believe any of it.
Oh, Hyacinth. Love the hat.
Thank you, Emmett. I don't think Richard ever notices.
As they set off, Hyacinth wants Richard to practice what it will be like to drive a minibus. So he has to allow extra space when driving the Rover. So he drives up on the pavement. And I love the look on her face as she says, there's no need to be silly, dear. It's so withering and love. And I love the fact, if you look at Liz in the back, she's chuckling.
Yes.
She's finding the whole thing very funny.
It's a nice moment. We then get back to the village hall. And we are introduced to Mrs. Lomax, who becomes more of a feature throughout the episode. She's feeling travel sick, very much like my mother. My mother gets travel sick. I thought my mother was a touch Mrs. Lomax.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she?
My mother gets very anxious about travel.
Okay. Well, I sense that's what's going on with Mrs. Lomax, because she's ill before they've even set off.
Yes, but actually once they get to their destination, she seems okay.
That's true. They also decide that Randy Mr. Farini is going in the minibus as well. And just as they've introduced her to Mr. Farini, to her horror, Onslow and Daisy arrive in the Cortina.
Yes. The actor that played Mr. Farini, Angus Lennie, you used to watch Crossroads, yes?
Not really.
No, okay.
No.
Well, he did 101 episodes of Crossroads.
Did he
was quite
really?
A regular. Yeah, he played Shuggy McPhee.
Wow.
So any Crossroad fans?
Well,
that's him.
We'll come back to Mr. Farini because he's a fun character in a very politically incorrect way.
Yes.
Yeah. Rose goes to get out of the car, and Hyacinth says, "Rose, pull your skirt down before we're all excommunicated," which I think is quite a good line. And they, of course, inform Hyacinth that Daddy's gone missing.
Mm. And this is the end of Onslow and Daisy for this episode.
Yeah.
It sort of writes them out.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But
there's nothing for them to do.
I think the whole point of it was it's just the embarrassment in front of everyone, isn't it?
Yes.
That, again, the rough side of her family is arriving and embarrassing her.
Onslow's giving a big old stretch in his vest.
That's true. Yeah. Hyacinth is introduced to Mrs. Lomax then at that point, and she says, "I feel sick."
And Mrs. Lomax, played by Rita Davis, her last appearance was actually quite recently in popular culture. She was in, I'll be honest, sorry to her family, I didn't notice her in this. I shall go back and watch it. She was in the 2017 Beauty and the Beast remake of Disney, and she was an old woman in that.
Oh, wow.
That was her last credit.
Is she still with us?
No.
Ah.
No, she died shortly after that.
Oh, dear.
But I didn't realise she'd gone on working. She may not have been as old as she looks in this episode.
That's true. Mr. Farini appears. He kisses Hyacinth.
Yes, in a rather expressive and continental nature.
That's right. And I like the fact that Hyacinth then says, "My Sheridan has numerous contacts in the European community."
Community?
Yeah.
She is very RP.
Yes. So I think we've discovered that not only does Sheridan drive a Citroen Dolly, but he also voted Remain.
Years before it happened.
He certainly did.
That line reminded me. I remember my grandmother. I wasn't actually with my grandmother at the time, but my aunt was with her, and they went into a stationery shop in Bristol one Christmas, or just after Christmas. And Granny had a former lodger that lives in Japan, because she's Japanese, that she was going to write to. And Granny went into the stationers in Bristol and announced, "Do you have a card suitable for my Japanese connection?" But she said that with no sense of irony or comedy, and my American aunt was slightly mortified.
And did they?
Yes.
Well, there you go. You need a card for every occasion.
We
oh,
do.
Oh, oh, oh! Hang on a minute. I'd better get that. It might be the vicar.
We'll be back momentarily.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, Bucketheads. We're still discussing the first episode of the fifth and final series, The Senior Citizens Outing. So they're on the road now.
They are on the road, and Hyacinth is sitting in the back of the minibus with Mr. Farini, who does a laugh. He has a certain laugh, Mr. Farini. And Hyacinth, she impersonates his laugh. She can't help but do it.
She does it twice in this episode.
It's really
she?
Funny, yeah. Mrs. Lomax, she needs a pause, yeah. Doesn't she?
And it sounds like Mrs. Lomax has been pausing quite a lot.
Yes.
Were you ever ill as a child, or indeed as an adult, in travel?
No, I don't think in travel, no. I did once vomit on somebody's cream carpet in a house that we were looking round with a view to buying it.
Did you end up buying the house?
No, but my parents did have to pay to have their carpet cleaned.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, not travel-wise.
No, I was a very sickly child travelling.
Were you?
Mm. Oh, I was a bit of a Mrs. Lomax, which is probably, I get it from my mother.
Yeah.
I used to have a Stugeron.
What's a Stugeron?
Well, I don't know if they still even exist, but it was an anti-sickness pill.
Wow.
I literally, most holidays up until the age of 10, I was deathly ill. Including a holiday to San Francisco. There's a photo of me just getting off the ferry from Alcatraz, or going to Alcatraz. They take your photos, you get off. And I'm pale anyway, yep. But I'm as white as a sheet and looking so unwell.
Gosh.
And that was the same holiday. I nearly had my appendix out because I was in so much pain. So my parents, obviously we're in America, we did have insurance, thankfully, but there was obviously a premium to pay. And I was on the operating table or on the trolley, and I just suddenly woke up and went, oh, it's fine now.
What?
And just got off. I didn't have the operation. So I am still with appendix.
And they nearly cut it out?
I was minutes away from being sedated for my appendix to be removed.
Oh, gosh, you are hard work,
aren't
you?
And the pain just stopped like that.
You are. What a drama queen.
Yes.
They were all gowned up and everything.
Yes.
Gosh, scrubbed.
And I just sort of went, oh, no, it's fine now.
Wow. Did they bill your parents anyway?
I don't know. I need to ask them, probably.
I bet they did. Yeah, absolutely. There's a scream.
Mm.
And Senor Farini, he's, for the first time, touched Hyacinth up.
Yeah, we see off camera. And I sort of couldn't really believe that Richard and Liz sort of aren't doing anything about it.
No. But then he... I don't know. I think things were a bit different in the 90s. Because I remember...
What? But just allow some randy Italian to touch up your wife.
Well, I remember that my grandmother had some friends, and I won't name them, but the husband used to be quite touchy-feely with my mum.
Oh.
And when we used to go down to Torquay, my mum would dread the whole experience because, again, he would kind of come up behind my mum.
Want to touch her up the front.
He'd squeeze her bottom.
Yeah.
And my mum would kind of squeal and run around the room. But nobody kind of did anything.
Mm.
It was just, oh, what's he like?
Well, thank heavens we live in the times we live in now.
In the car on the way down, my mum used to dread the fact we would go and see him, and he would always touch my mum's bottom.
Mm.
I know. It was a different time.
It was a different time. Yeah. There's a, we cut to an incidental cutaway of the Vicar's minibus, where they're all having a sing-song, and there are lots of people in that minibus.
Yes.
Having a very good time. And this episode is funny, because sort of there are quite a lot of characters at the start, and as the episode progresses, they just drop off.
Yes, they do.
And that's
do.
The
they
last
disappear.
Time we see of the Vicar and his wife and all the other minibus.
There is another moment where Onslow and Dozy appear. Have you remembered?
Yes, in the police station.
In the police station. They're reporting Daddy's gone missing. And Rose, of course, recognises the police sergeant. Charlie! It's Charlie.
And the other police sergeant is Eric Cart, who we have met twice before. Once in that very police station, when they're reporting, when Richard is going to collect Daddy
yeah.
from the police station. Mm-hmm. He's also, as we said at the time when we were doing Series 4, the car park attendant in the manor house in Series 1.
When
she wants to park near the manor.
Of course.
Same actor. And we know, having spoken to the cast and other members, that I'm sure will say the same thing, that Harold Snow liked to sort of, you know, if you worked with him and he liked you, he would find a role for you.
Yeah.
In that very old school way.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Bit of loyalty. They're at the seaside. Mrs. Lomax is still feeling sick. Mr. Farini is still grabbing Hyacinth.
There is, we have to go back though, before that policeman scene, the funniest line, and it is so out of place in Keeping Up Appearances because it is so smutty. And having read the book by Harold Snowd, he put it in, where Hyacinth runs round the minibus to escape Mr. Farini with, "When I said I wanted to stretch my legs!" And it's so funny.
I hadn't even clocked that.
It's so rude.
That is rude, isn't
it? It's so rude. It's hilarious. I wet myself.
Oh, my word. I had not clocked that line.
Go
that
back and
funny.
Watch it.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good line. Funny. Rude. Outrageous.
Yes.
Smutty. So we're back at the seaside, and it's all still going on, and they end up in the amusements.
Do you know which seaside resort it was? Did you see it on the sign?
No.
It's right in the... I was going to look it up, but it's right at the back of shot. It says Great Yarmouth.
Oh, right. Lovely.
What, is Great Yarmouth nice? Not by the look of this episode, but...
Well, I think Great Yarmouth is Great Yarmouth. Let's put it like that. I'm sure all of our bucketheads who live in Great Yarmouth love it.
Yes.
And those that go on holiday also adore it.
Mm.
I'm not sure you and I would want to go there.
No.
No.
It's not no Frigliana, is it?
It's definitely not Frigliana. Hyacinth is on the horse carousel.
Slight allusions, I thought, there to Series 4 when she's on the horse. Because she's sort of... There's that sort of slight motion.
Yeah. Well, now she knows how to ride.
Exactly. Mm. Yes.
Then the bumper cars.
And that is very funny.
Yeah, it is.
Seeing Hyacinth do things that we don't normally see Hyacinth do. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, she lets her guard down.
Not too near, Mr. Farini! Not too near!
Do you like fun fairs?
Not really. I mean, you were talking a little earlier about your travel sickness.
Mm.
The only time I have been publicly sick was at a fun fair. And in fact, it was at the end of Brighton Pier.
Oh.
Yeah. We went, of
yes,
course, down
you told
meet,
me this
to
story.
Meet my sister Daisy, Judy Cornwell, in Brighton.
Mm.
And as I looked out at the pier, it brought back memories because there is a fun fair at the end of the pier. And I went many, many years ago and I went on this kind of ride that went like this up and down.
Yeah.
And it went round and round. And as I came off, I thought for the first time, I thought, oh, my word, I'm going to be sick. So I got down on all fours and there were some gaps in between the wood.
Yeah.
On the pier. So all I could think to do to not create a scene was to just press my lips in between the gap and to direct my vomit through the gap in the end of Brighton Pier.
Into the sea.
Into the sea.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
It was awful. Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay, so no fun fairs for you.
No fun fairs for me, please.
Mrs. Lomax is eating her third Knickerbocker Glory.
Yes.
Which is making me feel ill just even thinking about it. And I love also when we see Hyacinth drinking from a straw.
Mm.
It's fun. And also there's a lipstick mark at the top of the straw, obviously. But there's just, and it's nice taking them out of the usual context to get some other stuff.
And there's wonderful opportunities for Patricia Routledge to show off her amazing physical abilities.
Yes.
Because as part of this amusement place that they've gone to, they then go into this kind of fun house.
Yes, and again, Harold Snowd writes he put all that in because he saw the fun house and thought, well, that's a good opportunity.
Yeah, and as the moving bridge goes and Hyacinth is trying to get across the moving bridge and then a big gust of wind blows her skirt up and it's just so slapstick, but it's hilarious.
Her own little Marilyn Monroe moment.
Yeah, and then the funny mirrors where she's got a long face and a long body and long legs. It's just funny, isn't it?
It's very simple.
Yeah.
But it's just very funny because you like the characters.
Completely.
And then, how exciting, it's the Cooper Bassetts.
Oh, yes.
They're such close friends that Hyacinth can't remember what he's big in.
That's
he's very big in something.
Yes, she shouts across, but they ignore her when they see her and quickly move away. Richard, by the way, has won a prize. They're doing some kind of shooting.
Mm.
And he's won a prize. And Hyacinth tells Richard, much to his disappointment, that he must let Mr. Farini choose what he wants.
Yeah.
What does Mr. Farini choose? Some handcuffs.
Yeah.
Pervy, kinky old Mr. Farini.
And again, Harold in his book, Harold, close friend, writes that this was meant to be a tunnel of love in the original script for Roy Clark, but at Great Yarmouth there was no tunnel of love.
Ah.
So thus, they changed it to a ghost train.
Mm.
Which looks terrible.
And if you trust me to marry you, Mr. Farini, but I already have a husband.
So, yes, Hyacinth and Mr. Farini, they are then in the haunted house, and Mr. Farini has handcuffed himself to Hyacinth on the ghost train.
Meanwhile, outside, Richard and Liz haven't noticed because they're wanting to go down a tunnel of love.
They certainly are. There's definite chemistry, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because Elizabeth is just so normal.
Yeah.
And so nice.
I know.
I think actually, if life were different, I'd like to marry Elizabeth.
What?
Yeah.
Why would you want to marry Elizabeth?
Because she's just lovely.
Oh. Bit boring, though.
Yeah, true.
No, I don't think Elizabeth would excite you.
Well, in so many ways, but... But she's just lovely.
Right, okay. Anyway, so Hyacinth sees Richard talking to the Cooper Bassetts with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
They're there. They're all having a chat. And seeing this happen, she doesn't want to be seen coming out of the haunted house. So she pushes a couple out of the way so she can get back on the ghost train and go round again.
But I also, this is again where I thought, hang on, they haven't thought this through.
Yeah.
Because Hyacinth just needs to say, I'm doing charitable work.
Yeah.
I'm here looking up, doing a thing for the church.
I know.
All she needs to say.
I know.
If she's that worried.
But that would ruin the show, William, wouldn't it?
It would.
Because
I'm being literal again.
She's embarrassed. So she gets back on the haunted train and the Cooper Bassetts get on it as well behind her.
Because that's where they had the honeymoon.
Yeah. And then there's the end scene where she suddenly notices them and kind of waves.
I love that Mr. Cooper Bassett has taken his hat off in the ghost train like a gentleman.
Yes. Cue the end credits.
Yeah, it's a weak ending.
It is a bit of a weak ending.
But a nice episode.
Oh, it's such a good episode. It's lovely. It's a feel-good episode, isn't it?
So, not our favourite in Series 5, but it's up there in the top five, maybe?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely one of my faves. Now, before we go, we have some news for you, Bucketheads.
Oh, what's this?
Oh, you're going to love it. For the fifth and final series, we have something extra luxurious and elegant for you. Ladies and gentlemen, a second weekly serving of the Luxury Podcast with genuine bonus embellishments.
Oh, yes. We will be with you on Wednesdays and Thursdays until mid-June with a second episode. So tomorrow... less than 24 hours, depending on when you're listening to this, we'll be having a look at the outtakes and bloopers from Keeping Up Appearances.
Now, during our second weekly episodes, William and I will be taking a look into the wider realm of Hyacinth's touch, from charity specials, TV ads, plus we'll be joined by some more members of the cast. So, we'll see you tomorrow, Bucketheads!
Goodbye!
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. this Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.